Welcome to Voices
Love
of Freedom.
Radio.
It's always great to be here with you, always great to have an opportunity to talk about Jesus and his master plan for you and me, and we'll get right into it. We had a great day yesterday, a lot going on, and one of the things that came up, one of the best things that happened all day was a discussion that I had with the young lady that is running for office, and we wish her the best. And we got into a conversation about this thing, this marijuana legalization. And you know, everybody can have their own position on whatever you want to have it on. And there was some great discussion. For example, you know, we talked about the fact of, you know, why would it be wrong to smoke a marijuana cigarette, which is all natural, when we're killing ourselves with carcinogens that are in the food. The fat people that have eaten all the Little Debbie cakes, which I just had a big oatmeal cake from Little Debbie myself a minute ago, you know, why? How come the gluttony people are preaching down on the drinkers and the cannabis users and, you know, whatever else your problem might be? So we went through several things, and a couple of things dawned on me, and I thought about it all day yesterday. We talk about free will, and God did give us free will to choose the direction of our lives. Now, free will and God's will are not the same thing. It doesn't mean that if I believe in God that I'll just run right on through life and that I'll just do what I want to do. And at the end of the day, God loves me, God's going to take me to heaven, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Now, where I'd like to go to this morning, if you've got a Bible and you're turning with me, is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Excuse me. So I want to share with you, when I got saved, day one, I was 100% saved, 100% on my way to heaven, and I believed that the Bible was 90% correct right off the bat. Do you see anything wrong with that situation? See, when I surrendered and I got saved, it tells me there in Romans chapter 12, to be in God's will, I've got to be a living sacrifice. God could have killed me and put me in hell and my life would have been over, but he made a way for me to be a living sacrifice. So the fact that I'm living, and that I'm a sacrifice to God, meaning everything I owe to Jesus, I've got to grow to a point as a Christian where I see that all Scripture is given by inspiration. Once again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. So let me give it to you. Let me read it and kind of go through this, and then we'll kind of hit some other things. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So everything I read in this Bible, everything is good stuff. It's all 100% from God. And if I just believe it, okay, and I can go, let me take you to the Gospel of John in verse 1, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Scripture is the Word of God, given to us by God, written down by man that God used, or men that God used, to put us in a position to understand the things that we're going to be up against, okay? Because it says here, there's so many places in this 2 Timothy where it talks about people being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're there, amen? Having a form of godliness but denying the power of, stay away from these people. Now, this is chapter 3, 2 Timothy, going back up to chapter 5. The scary part is verse 7, because it says that some people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You got anybody that has to buy every self-help book that's out there on the market today? Isn't it kind of a sad thing? You got anybody that has to try every new diet out there? And you say, well, it's not the same thing. It's a pattern of how we live our lives. It's a pattern of the suggestion we open ourselves up to when we start watching commercial TV and seeing a commercial that says, eat this pizza, it'll make you skinny. You know, or try this diet, it'll make you skinnier. We can go on and on. But we're confronting a period in history that was coming, that's been on its way for a long time, and it's why all of a sudden that it makes a whole lot of, what do you say, difference if you get involved and you understand what Jesus wants from us, or if you sit back and you let the devil just completely steamroll things. Now, let's talk about marijuana. Is it right to vote for or against marijuana? You know what? I have no clue. They tried prohibition. They took alcohol out of everything, and the country went nuts. It gave rise to the mafia and organized crime. So then they bring it back. But here was the thing. During all the prohibition, all the people that had gotten rid of it were still doing it. So it was one of those things like people do get interested in is, can you legislate morality? Can I tell you you can't do something when I turn around and do the same thing? There's where I'm with you 150%. But where the Bible is a little bit different on this is when I go to the weaker brother, I think it's Romans chapter 2, when they were talking about what you can eat and what you couldn't eat. Well, the Jewish people, you know, they had strict dietary guidelines. I find it very interesting. If you go back and think about it, if we'd have never ate anything but what Adam and Eve ate, how healthy we would be, because they weren't allowed to eat meat there till a certain point in the Bible. But then I think, you know, on this here, we go back and look at the dietary restrictions that they had, what they could eat, what they couldn't eat. And Paul says, look, the new way, the grace way, the God's riches at Christ's expense way, the unmerited favor of God way, because we've reconciled, back to God, is that you have an opportunity now to have some freedoms that you didn't have before. For example, if eating this meat doesn't bother you, then eat it. But if you're sitting with somebody and you're trying to minister to somebody, or you're trying to take care of somebody, and this is tearing them up to do this because they're a Jewish person that has just converted over to Christianity, don't be a stumbling block. Now, it's true that the laws are a stumbling block, right? Don't kill, don't steal, don't cheat, don't commit adultery. You know, we love those things applied to other people, but if we were to be guilty of one of them, we wouldn't want the mercy on it, right? So the weaker brother is a young Christian or a young person that may not fully understand some things. And if he sees the one that he's looking up to or the stronger brother doing something and it tears his heart out, there's a problem with that. Does that make sense? Now, I know there's going to be bunches of comments on this today. You know, may not be on this because we don't get a lot of comments on our Voices of Freedom program. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to identify and share a Jesus broadcast. So that's a little interesting, but neither here nor there. But here's the thing. You're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? Look, man, there's people searching for everything in this world. There's people searching for Buddha's way and Muhammad's way and, you know, the way of the scientist or Scientology or whatever you might be searching for, okay? But the key to the whole thing is you better be able to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple more here as this apostasy, this is a falling away. This is people who are not willing to understand or seek to understand the things that God's got prepared, because God's will and free will are not the same thing. You do have the free will to choose whether to have a relationship with Jesus, whether to get saved, whether to follow after the things the Bible tells us to follow after. You can have that. But you're not in God's will. It says in Matthew chapter 6, starting around verse 9, when you pray, Jesus said, pray, thy Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. Now, when he said you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the presence of the Almighty God, in a place called heaven, God's will is always done. Does that make sense to you? So the fact that it's always done in his presence means that if God's living inside of me, I better try to stay in God's will, not my free will, right? So let's read a couple more. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. that persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul's talking about the things that he'd been through, right? Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. Now, what does this mean? Well, this Christian lady said she was saved. I say I'm saved. We're having a discussion. That's just between the two of us, and I'm not going to mention her name. But we're in this discussion, and we're talking about some things. And it says that they all will live godly, all who will live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Now, who's being persecuted here? Is it her? Is it me? Is it whatever? But listen, there's no persecution when we don't get it right, because it just makes the devil happy, right? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what's going to deceive me? I believe it's the devil. What's going to be a deceiving thing where I'm going to try to deceive you, and I'm going to be deceived? Boy, that's bad on both ends, isn't it? But he's telling Timothy here, Paul says, you continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What was the big deal about Paul? Paul saw Jesus making him an apostle. He had some teachings from Jesus that made him an apostle. Paul probably endured about as much as anybody in suffering, and that suffering and that willingness to stay with Jesus and understand he's the power of the universe, that's what's made this thing work for Jesus Christ, and that's what's made it work for his disciples and his followers, because we see that if we're going to live godly, there's going to be some things against us. Now, take over the campaign here. I'm in a political campaign. Well, should a Christian be running for office or not? Listen, man, I can take you back through the Bible, all kinds of different places where Christian people, or maybe not Christian but at the time because Jesus hadn't come, but where godly people, God empowered them to do certain things in certain places. So I think the answer is, yeah, we need to get involved. But if I go out here and I come up with my own agenda in this, I don't think it's going to do much. But when I stop and I look here and I see that all Scripture is given by inspiration and I'm starting to be guided by the Bible, then God can use me. Because is it right for me to legalize marijuana? Well, if I vote for that, all my Christian people are going to be, and that's what I'm running for, my church and the Christian people, then my people are going to be mad at me, and they're going to say, Lunsford lied to us like every other politician. I shouldn't say every other, but Lunsford told us a big story. He got in there. Now he's, you know, he forgot about us. You know, that's not what I want. I want to tell you something going in. I want to believe that in the middle of the fire and coming out of the fire on the other end, I want it to still be true. I want to still follow what I said I would follow. Now, moderation is a word in the Bible that's used a lot of times. I think it's right there in Galatians 5:22 and 5:23 where it says the fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to overdo things as Christians. We're going to realize being saved and God living inside of me has made me the temple for the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm going to try to take a little bit of attention to my appearance. I'm going to try to do some things to not disfigure myself, because Jesus Christ wants me to be the light of the world. Jesus Christ wants me to look right, do right, so things can turn out right. Amen? So at the end of the day and all this stuff, doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense that you and me would get into a position where we would be able to be exactly what Jesus wants us to be, so we would be in God's will? I believe so. Now, let me preach to you here for just a little bit. It says in chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. See, I should never say I believe this to be true of the Bible when I do not know, right? I can't tell you how to live. I can't, you know, it's not my job to judge. All those things are true, okay? But when I have to pull the lever of no on the cannabis thing, I believe that's what God would want us to do. You say, but there's gambling, but there's the lottery, but there's all kinds of problems. And I didn't pass those laws either, you see. But what is it going to do? Well, it's going to get us, people are going to get off heroin and they're going to get on marijuana. You know, they're going to get off this and on that. You know, they're going to go from one, you know, here's the thing. The lady said, I don't consider smoking marijuana a sin. And I said, well, a sin, and this is the King James version of a sin, is falling short of the standard God has set. When I alter the chemicals of my mind, like we do with chewing tobacco, which I chew, smoking, which I've never done, but a lot of people do, even food, I guess, alters the chemicals of the mind in some ways, but especially marijuana and other drugs like heroin and different things, I suppose, or I guess, that they alter the chemicals of the brain. And when I alter those chemicals, I'm messing with something that God has created. I'm messing with something that is near witchcraft and sorcery, according to the Bible. So, you know, you say, well, you said earlier, if I'm a stronger brother, I just need to be stronger and keep my mouth shut. Well, I just read to you where my job is to preach, and it's to reprove, and it's to rebuke, okay, and it's to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So my job is to tell you in season and out of season, whether I'm prepared or not, is to be able to give you some basic answers to your questions. One of the biggest things is anything that alters the chemical makeup of your brain is not a good thing to be using. Now, if I'm fighting cancer and I'm on my deathbed, I'm probably not concerned about that. So you say, well, but medical-wise, you know, West Virginia could use the money and West Virginia could use this. Listen, let's go back to Lot and let's go back to Abraham. Said they were on the top of the mountain and both of them had prospered in such a mighty way. God had blessed them and they couldn't live together anymore. There's just too much. And Lot looked down and Abraham said, take what you want, Lot, pick a side and I'll go the other direction. Lot looked down and he picked what looked like the very best. Amen. Just about every time you get to go first and pick, you pick what looks like the very best. Now you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, there may be not anything wrong with that, but every time that I hear somebody say, we need the tax money, we should legalize gambling for the tax money, you know, which 90% of the people who gamble can gamble and have no problem. But there's lots of other problems that go with gambling. There's the addiction concept. There's the kind of, I don't know, surroundings that you end up getting when you get into the gambling thing. I mean, there's bunches of side effects to those kinds of things. So sometimes we have to go back to the Bible when Jesus told the man, he said, if you gain the whole world, but you lost your soul, what would you have gained? And that's what we have to look at, I believe, as a government sometimes. Sometimes just to be on the side of right is more important than money. Well, I won't say sometimes. I'll say all the time, to be on the side of Jesus Christ and what he wants for us out of this Bible, not what Lunsford says, not Lunsford's special interest backers, but if we follow what the Bible says, we can call on the promises of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where Jesus said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. Now, what does that mean today? It means God's people, the saved people. Listen, the world don't know anything about Jesus. They can look at the Bible and laugh. They can think about Jesus and laugh. They have no clue what's going on. But at the end of the day, there it is. You know, it doesn't change the truth of God. Let me give you this. It says, the time will come. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap on themselves teachers having itching ears. So, talking about in the church here, because this is preaching, but this will fit in your community just as well, okay? People don't want to hear what's true. I was watching something there or listening to something or somebody was talking about suing somebody. And let's be as completely honest as we can be. We want lawsuit reform, tort reform, whatever you want to call it, until somebody does something to us, then we want to sue. I mean, that's just the way it is. We want all this stuff to happen, but when it comes back to us and there's an opportunity for us to get something, we want to get it. And it's that way in everything. It's just the way it is. Man, to be able to say no to something in the world is to be living that sacrificial life of surrender that you promised to Jesus in Romans 12:1. When there's something that you could get or something that you could take or something that, you know, you got because of your position of authority and you pass on it or you use those funds for somebody else other than yourself, you're getting close to God's will. But nobody is willing to help anybody. And it's absolutely amazing to me that people won't help each other. People don't care about each other. You say, well, you're out in the world, you're, you know, in the church. I'm talking about everywhere. Everybody's too busy to help anybody do anything. Everybody's got too much going on. Everybody's got too many different things. But if you start talking about something that bothers people, they tune you out. Listen, I just read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to you, all scripture. My plan for you today or my thoughts for you today are don't believe me, but start to look in the Bible. Start to realize this Bible is real and it's God's word. And because it's God's word, I mean, for me, because somebody said the other day, said, well, how'd it go? Talked about, Jesus is in the minority on an issue like abortion's going to come up in West Virginia where we're going to have an opportunity to say we're not going to use Medicaid funds for abortion. You say, wow, that's fantastic. Well, you know, a commentator in the news said, or in the newspaper said, we're not, it says, Christians choose a losing topic or something like that. Just a little comment. But here's the thing. The Christian is not the loser in this. Now, due to the apostasy, due to the falling away, due to the people that will not endure sound doctrine, those people may never get saved. Those people may never come back to church. Those that went a little ways and just didn't want to hear it or church was an inconvenience and fellowship was an inconvenience and hearing about Jesus is an inconvenience and I don't want to read my Bible, I don't like to read it, I don't have time, I don't want to, blah, 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 okay? Then all that can just pass by the wayside and do whatever it's going to do because that's how life is. But I'm telling you, I can't see myself as being in the minority when I've got the King of Kings on my side. When I've got the truth of the Bible on my side. When I saw God raise up Joseph to save not only the Jewish people there at the time Jacob's kids, you know, and the tribes of Israel, not only does he raise up Joseph and put him in a position to do that, I go over there and I see where he took a boy out of a field who was watching sheep And he gave him a little bit of fame when he took him down there and allowed him to hit old Goliath right between the eyes with the big stone. And I watched how he took a young boy named Solomon, and Solomon prayed for an understanding heart. He prayed for the ability to do the right thing for God's people. I've been praying that all my life. You say, well, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I read a story on Solomon like that. And that was one of the things that I read, was how the first prayer out of Solomon's mouth was, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Lord, help me take care of your people. That's what I want to know today. So am I going to take care of the pot smoker? Yeah. Am I going to take care of the alcoholic? Yeah. Am I going to take care of the heroin addict? Yeah. Am I going to love these people? Yeah. What am I going to do about the gay and the homosexual? Behind your closed doors, I can't tell you nothing about what you ought to be doing. But just like abortion, I will not be supporting that openly, promoting that agenda, because it's not God's will. I can take it to Leviticus chapter 20, I think it is, where sex with the same sex is right beside of having sex with animals in the Bible. That's what God thinks about it. Now, do you need companionship? Do you need somebody to love? Do you need, you know, we all need love, food, shelter, clothing, da-da-da-da-da. There's some basic needs of life. You're going to get it wherever. I don't know your backstory. I don't know what you're going through or from or what happened. And you can be enraged like a lot of the world is today and be mad at me, or you can seek to get into the Bible and to understand the answer. See, because like a lot of things, some people will offer you an answer, and you say, well, tell me the source, and they can't tell you the source. Like a newspaper writer will write an article, and they'll say, well, prove it. Well, I can't reveal my source. Listen, I can reveal the source of the power that I'm telling you about today, because it's the Bible. It's from God Almighty today. He wants a relationship with you. Your life is going to be a disaster without Jesus in it. And you're going to end up in a place called hell one day. Your life with Jesus could still be a disaster. You could be such a power hitter for Jesus Christ that the devil never lets up on you. He'll beat on you. He'll knock on you. He'll bang on you. He'll do everything that can be done to you. And why would he do it? He's got one reason for doing it. He wants you to quit on Jesus Christ today. Well, we got problems. We got them all around. But listen, don't believe Lunsford. Grab the Bible and look it up. Now, you can message me if you're having trouble finding something, but I tell you what, you can just about Google any phrase that you've heard from the Bible, and it'll take you right to it on Google. I'm hoping and I'm praying for you today. Listen, do I care if you use drugs? Do I care if you drink beer? Do I care if you, you know, I don't care what you do. You can still surrender to Jesus Christ and start a personal relationship with him. Then your free will and God's will can work this thing out. But I'm telling you, your free will is going to have to take a back seat to the will of God and the almighty plan he has for you. Because when I'm a living sacrifice, I'm going to be living. That's key to it all, right? But I'm a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing some of the things I wanted, some of the plans I had. Why am I doing that? Because God's put me on the path to a better plan. Number one, to tell you this morning how to get to Jesus. How to read that Bible for yourself. You don't take other people's words for everything. It's good if you have somebody you have confidence in, but at the end of the day, the best place to get anything is directly from Jesus Christ himself. And when I'm in that Bible, guess what I'm getting? I'm getting John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Have a great day. God bless.